My studies over the course of the next year turned up some remarkable findings. Nonin's people seemed to know beforehand when someone was about to die, though the term they used was leave. Nonin would sometimes say that this person or that was gone, even though I would be looking directly at the person, sometimes speaking with him or her. And sure enough, the person would die soon after, often without evidence of disease. I asked him if his people had known before about the Imperial assault, and he said that they had. They saw the village gone. Was this precognition the result of the Force, I wondered? Nonin's answer was it might be. Shortly into my second year of living among them, the entire village began to lapse into an uncharacteristically somber state. When I finally asked Nonin the reason, he told me that I was going. It was understood that I didn't realize I was going, and so everyone had kept it to themselves. While I refused to believe it, I subjected myself, nevertheless, to every imaginable scan, all of which showed me to be in near-perfect health. Nonin, however, was insistent. I was going. But if I would allow a ritual to be performed on my behalf, it was possible that my leaving could be postponed for a time. I eagerly agreed to it, and when the ritual was completed, Nonin told me that it had been partially successful. Almost immediately, I became terribly ill. Had they done this to me? I asked myself. Was it a plan all along? Tests carried out by the droids eventually revealed that I had a congenital disease that had somehow gone unnoticed in almost 30 years of medical scans. By all rights, I should have been dying. But I wasn't. Something was holding the disease in check. But for how long, I wondered. I realized then that I was destined to remain with Nonin and his people for however long it would take to unravel the secret of their uncanny abilities. I became positively giddy with grandiose dreams. With all the progress the human species had made in the realms of science and technology, the secrets that would allow us to see into the future, and perhaps extend our lifespans, had yet to be unlocked. And here I stood, poised to solve the mystery. Save for one problem. For months, I had been working up the nerve to ask Nonin how long he and his people would live. Though I phrased the question differently, I said, "Are you here to stay?" He gave his head a resigned shake. "We are going." "When?" I pressed my voice, betraying my utter sense of loss. "Soon. Long before you leave." I doubled my efforts to learn everything I could about Nonin's people, but without success. And in the face of failure, I'm afraid I morphed into more of a mad scientist than a medical practitioner. Another year passed. The Millennium Falcon had in large measure become part of the village landscape. But then one day, the entire village turned out to clean the ship from stem to stern, removing the flowers and incense before coloring her with tree sap of the brightest hues I had ever seen them use. At least it wasn't war paint, I assured myself. Still, I found the sudden attention to be as worrisome as it was baffling. By way of explanation, Nonin told me that the Falcon had disappeared. "Gone, like the Imperial base?" I asked him. "Simply gone," he said. "Moved on." There was nothing I could do. She had left. Each morning for the next month, I was amazed to find the Falcon resting on her landing gear, gaudy with paint but still there. I don't know what I expected to happen, but it wasn't until Molepole Circus arrived at Hayato that I began to understand. Dax Dugan took one look at the ship and decided he had to have her, and in fact the Falcon couldn't have looked more perfect for a circus. Dax's offer was generous beyond my wildest imaginings, more than enough to finance the medical and research center I dreamed of establishing on Hayato. And how could I refuse in any case, when the Millennium Falcon had already moved on?